Okay. Yeah. Okay. But can we play it again? Is that okay? Can I play it two times?
Yeah.
God. Is that good?
That's good. Tell you what. That's a good cut. That's. But the best part. Okay, well, we can listen to the guitar part again. I just wanted to put it on for the banjo part. I mean, banjo part makes the hair in the back of my neck stand up, and that's how we should probably start the day. All right. That's it. We're done. Okay, I'm going home. You paid for that. That's the best part right there. The rest of the show is downhill, man. I tell you what, I don't know. We got nothing else. Actually, we do. There's a whole bunch of technology news today or this week. Not my technology. Other, you know, technology in the real world of technology. And first one is alarming. I think. Maybe not. Maybe it's just my point of view. But the scientists are saying within 3 months, we will reach singularity. Now, do you know what singularity is? I wasn't 100% sure. I had an idea. It has to do with AI. And yeah, we all talk. I got AI on my iPhone. I can't say it's any better than it was before, but we'll see. But AI kind of, you know, it is. I'm sure it's not really AI as such, but AI drives a lot of social media. We called it algorithms a while ago, but it's obviously become more evolved over time. And AI, they're predicting, is going to reach singularity in 3 months, which means that AI will transcend the human brain. In other words, it will be smarter than we are. I'm just saying, you know, I saw it online, and it was multiple sources, wasn't just one source. So our computer overlords, and, you know, regardless of where you are in anything in terms of social media, mental capacity, philosophy, politics, whatever. This does drive social media. And it's getting more and more sophisticated. And that's a dangerous thing. I'm just saying. I don't want to, you know, I should just go back to the banjo music. AI ain't doing banjo music to any degree that I'm happy with. So we got that going for us. Anyway, okay, number two, in depressing information. I wasn't planning it. It just showed up. They're fine. You know, the old saw, if you will, the women live longer than men, and that seems to be anecdotally more true than not. Well, they now believe that aside from all the horrible jokes you can make about the genders of the world, there is actual proof that genetically that may be the case. And for all the crosses that women bear, having children and the rest, we boys have a cross to bear. And that is our chromosomes. The XX chromosome that women have is less likely to mutate as opposed to the XY chromosomes that men have. So we men, I guess if we were to phrase it this way, are mutants. We mutate. I'm just saying, again, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just, you know, I picked this stuff up. I always felt a little weird. I don't know. Okay, number three. This is the last one from the news, I think. And this one is interesting, and it is not depressing. Researchers at MIT and other places have been working on cement batteries in that they can store electrical energy inside in cement, and a cubic a cubic meter, which is kind of equivalent to a cubic yard of concrete and prepared in this certain way, can store about 2 kilowatts of electricity. So a full basement could conceivably be the battery that runs the house. And it's very interesting. I pulled up as much information as I could online. It's MIT's doing it, and we'll see where that one takes us. But I kind of like the sounds of that. That's interesting. Has something to do with graphene, you know, carbon stuff. There's carbon stuff, I tell you what. If there's a carbon graphene company to invest in, maybe that's the place to be. That's where all your money should be. speaking of money. I know it's Saturday and you said, you know what, after I listened to Gosi on the radio, I got to go spend some money. And I'm not hawking cars here. But yesterday I went down to Camden, Maine to a music store called Three if I could speak English, it'd be great for being on radio. String Theory. Music store on Bayview Street in Camden. String Theory will be carrying my banjos. And they've got three instruments. Now, these are more, one is one that, I guess all three I've put together. Now I stop and think about it. But they're not the most recent stuff I've done. But these are more conventional instruments, and they're all pretty darn nice. I mean, they're really nice. And they all sound good. One is overtly just a bluegrass banjo. The other two, one is kind of in the middle, could go either bluegrass or a clawhammer. And the third one is kind of a clawhammer folk kind of instrument. But they're all really nice. And you have to see them to believe them. I don't think they have them up on their website yet, but you can look them up, String Theory. I'll get it right. And it was fun to go. I wasn't anticipating it being as pleasant a drive as it was, because they're doing construction on Route 1. But it looks like they got maybe another month and they're going to be done. And I was anticipating long lines of traffic, and it wasn't bad at all. Getting into town was kind of a different story. There are a lot of people. I mean, people are out looking at leaves and stuff. But, man, it was, 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Downtown Camden was packed. So I'm on Main Street, which is Route 1, and I got to make a left onto Bayview Street. And I'm going to, I got my blinker on, I'm going to make a left. There was not a lot of traffic. And I go to make the left, and there's some guy. He's standing in the middle of the street. I don't know if he's looking for his kids or his wife. He just stopped dead in the middle of the street. And, it's pedestrians, and they're kind of in another world. They're tourist pedestrians in another world. It just cracked me up. This guy was so oblivious. Speaking of oblivious, I got to take a break. I got to gather my wits. I got a container here to put them in. We come back. We'll take your calls, 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478 if you'd like to participate on Saturday morning. Where's the tune? There it is. I get it right sometimes. All right, we're back. It's 8:09. I'm turning this down before the stereo kicks in, or maybe I was too late. Anyway, it's hot and cold Saturday morning, 8:19. I got a text message here. Good morning, Tom. There are some YouTube podcasts I would like to listen to while in the car, 2023 RAV4. How do I do that? Is it possible to connect my cell phone to the car without downloading the Toyota app? Okay, number one, I don't know. 2023 is too new for me, okay? I have no experience. Number two, it's Saturday morning. It is 8:20. You're going to listen to a podcast. Hot and Cold is on for another hour and 40 minutes. You're going to listen to a podcast? Wait a minute. What you do is you get your cell phone and you set up, you go to the VOM app after 10 a.m., and then you can listen to Hot and Cold podcasts. You know, let's get the priorities right here. I'm not doing this for my health. I'm sorry. I have no idea how you do, apps. I'm getting sick of apps, I tell you what. I sound like Roddy Dangerfield. I don't know. I got no respect. Let's see. So a big project Pete and I took on this week. We have, by some miracle, we're getting ready to put the airplane out for display. And we had three holes dug for the anchors that go into the ground. And we left those holes kind of covered with some wood and stuff, and nobody fell in them. So that was a good thing. I was slightly paranoid about that, but it was out of the way, area where people don't usually go. So we've got the three anchor points in the ground. They kind of line up. I did the measuring, so it's relatively okay. And we had the fuselage of the plane out to see how we could situate stuff, and we did that. And then it went back into storage till we're ready. I think we did it Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. And then we knew it was going to get windy, and we really didn't want to be putting the wings on the plane while it's windy, while we're anchoring stuff. But that'll happen next week sometime. It took a while to get everything into the ground. We had you can't just put a post in the ground and say, hey, that's great, because the airplane, if it has some lift, might pull it right out of the ground. So we've got all kinds of lateral thingamajigs in the ground to have a lot of lifting resistance, and I think we did okay. We'll find out when the airplane's on the roof of Barb's restaurant across the street. It'd be a look, it'll be well anchored. We've got steel cable, and all the hardware we need to do this right. And I'm just kind of looking forward to get it. So, we had the fuselage out. It wasn't out for long. I think it was around lunchtime. And I was doing something in the shop. And I come out, and there's this truck leaving. I realized that my friend Steve from Sears Port Shores Campground, he saw the fuselage there, had to stop, get in the plane, and satiate that. And that was kind of the reason we were putting the plane – it, to me, it's just kind of fun. I'm realizing now we probably have to paint the plane, and it becomes a little bit of a philosophical question, because airplanes are painted with a special kind of paint, which we're not going to use. I'm going to get house paint and a roller, and we're going to do it some kind of color. I'm not sure what yet, but that will happen, because it's a little worn, and we got to spiff it up a little bit. We got to have a logo on it or something. I'm not sure what it'll say yet. It'll be something that we could say in public, but it's coming, and it's going to be interesting. Well, and one of the reasons for the plane is it's just cool. If I was a kid, and I've said this before, if people come in with kids looking at cars, kids are always jumping around. They get kind of nervous. I remember there was one a little while ago, some folks, the parents were buying a car, and we have steel siding on our office, and the kids were in the shade. It was a sunny day. It was hot out. And they were kind of in the shade of the office, and they're banging on the walls. And steel siding, you know, it reverberates. It's like a big speaker. And so if we have an airplane, that'll keep them occupied. I mean, you know, how cool is that? If I was a kid, I'm not a kid, and I still want to get in the airplane. So, and Steve did. Speaking of which, today is the sardine thing down in Sears. Big sardine thing in Searsport today. Sardine Days or something like that, they're calling it. And my buddy Steve has put together a group that's going to do sea shanties and other songs related to the region, I guess, at the Mermaid Plaza, which is where Jordan's restaurant used to be, if you remember that, if you're as old as I am, right in downtown Searsport. And that's going to be around noontime today. And they have a list. They got like 33 songs they're going to do. I don't know. They must be short songs. I'm not sure I could hang through 33 songs. Let's see. We got a message here. At least spray the plane. Don't roll the paint. Don't roll the paint on it like some hack. Obviously, you don't know who you're listening to. I'm going to get one of those. I'm going to roll it. Well, I couldn't spray it. But I'm probably going to roll it because I'm probably going to use house paint. I mean, hack is my, could have been my middle name. I mean, you know, with the wings, another message here, with the wings missing, you could probably make it look like it was taxiing at LaGuardia. Yeah. Oh, so one thing, we're not going to put out on display the propeller or the engine. The engine's out of the plane. We're going to sell those off. The exhaust was still on the plane. We took the exhaust off because it wasn't necessary. And we're going to sell off the motor and the prop. Prop has got some value. And I came up with and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but we have to have some kind of motive apparatus, a propeller of some form. And I had a brainstorm, and it came to fruition yesterday. And that's all I'm going to say, because it's going to be a hoot. And it may actually work as a windmill to light, and then we can flicker lights and stuff. It'll be, we'll see. I'm not saying anymore. No, I've already said too much. Yeah, that's what you're saying too, huh? I've got a plan, and it could be interesting. It could be kind of fun. So we got that going for us. Let's see. I got some time for this story. So my youngest daughter works on a flower farm, and she has a little Mazda 2, which is a little tiny car. And at the time we got it, she was living in Bangor. Mazda 2 is nice, small car. It's not a hybrid. It's just an inexpensive car to run. And now she's on a farm. She's going on dirt roads and stuff, and the ground clearance on the Mazda is questionable. So she's been talking about getting something with some ground clearance. And I swore I would never get one. I've been cleaning the shop all week, and I have had a whole pile of Honda Element parts. I said, let's get rid of these. I'm not doing any more Honda Elements. I'm sick of them. They always are kind of a hassle. And what do I find for her for a car? A Honda Element this week. So half the parts I was going to sell are going into the Honda Element because it needs a lot of parts, which is typical of Honda Elements when that time comes. And it's so much for cleaning the shop. but I'm getting rid of about half the parts, so that's a good thing. Hey, we're going to take a break. It's 8:29. We'll be back in just a bit. One, two, three, and...
like the girl that you used to be. Used to mean so much to me. Had me blind, but now I see. I know you've been cheating on me. Take these and your those and two. Be on your way, I'm through with you. Can't stand the way that you do. I know you've been cheating on me. Here's God, I've been to you. You let the devil fool you. Hooray and hallelujah. Baby, we had to come to. There's nothing there to confess.
He's a dynamite, uptight, out of sight, backyard Romeo. Well, he looks like skin on a bone pile. The cat wouldn't give him a glance. When he stretches his long legs out, a fox ain't got a chance. Tennessee Hound Dog, Tennessee Hound Dog. Sad-faced, moony-eyed creature. His ears hang down to his knees. She hounds call him a has-been. An old age home for fleas. Tennessee Hound Dog. Tennessee Hound Dog. When he gets a certain kind of look on his face, the she-hounds run for a hiding place. When he takes a notion, all the girl dogs know he's a dynamite. Uptight, out of sight, backyard Romeo.
All right, you know, it's hard to find good bluegrass dog songs or animal songs, and I found that one. So, anyway, let's head over to the Bangor Humane Society and talk to Chelsea this morning. Hi, Chelsea, how are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. Super busy today, as most of you might know or haven't seen. We've got Paws and Parade today.
Yeah.
So this is our biggest event of the year, and I don't know if everybody has seen our social media posts. Unfortunately, we had to make a very hard decision due to recent outbreaks of parvo in our community.
Mm.
We had to do no dog event, which is very, very hard for us.
That's a strange one, isn't it?
It's a strange one, but hey, you know, we still have a lot of really goodies, and we're going to celebrate the dogs the most we can here. It's really funny. The dog I'm going to talk about in a second, I actually have a T-shirt with his face on, so it's really great. I love it.
And so, you can bring cats, right? I mean, you guys are talking about bringing cats.
Yeah, bring your cats in obviously a safe, a carrier or a backpack or a stroller, anything like that. You can bring your bunnies as well. Just unfortunately, no dogs today. We really are prioritizing the health and safety of the animals in our community. We love them so much.
Sure.
So we just want to make sure that we're being safe. There's still a lot of vendors here. There's a lot of goodies. There's food trucks. There's costume contests for humans. You can also bring a picture of your pet in a costume, and you'll be entered in for that prize. So it's a lot of fun. We're definitely really excited. And it's going to be a good day. And we're still going to talk about our shelter dogs. And we're actually going to talk about Zader this morning. Zader Tater is his nickname. He is the bestest boy ever. I love him so much. He's 10 years old, and he is a big old unit. He's 103 pounds. So he is a big baby. He is honestly the love of my life. If I could take him home, I totally would. But he does want to be the king of his castle, so no other animals in the home, especially dogs. He definitely is not a huge fan of other dogs, so it will be very important that you keep him away from other dogs. But he loves love. He loves treats. He actually sits in my office all the time and just sleeps. Honestly, he sounds like a helicopter when he sleeps. He's just the loudest snorer. He's the bestest boy, and I love him so dearly, and we definitely want to celebrate him today and get him adopted, get him out of there. He's so good. And we're closed today, but you can still come say hi to him on Monday.
Cool. He is a good-looking boy.
I know. He's so handsome.
And I just want to comment, there's a lot of cats, right? We got a lot of cats going on right now.
Yeah, we put up a lot of cats, so we've got a lot of kitties, we've got a lot of dogs right now, so we definitely probably have your future family member there, so definitely stop on by, and we're happy to find their forever home for you.
Okay. Well, I hope things go very well today. I'm looking out the window. I'm seeing clouds, but I checked the weather while we were talking. 10 o'clock or 9, between 9 and 10, it's going to clear right up. It's going to be a sunny day.
It's going to be beautiful today. And like I said, we're going to have lots of fun. So come on down.
Wonderful. All right. Well, Chelsea, have fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes.
Thanks.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye-bye. And let's do that. Hit that button there. Okay. So let's see. Where were we? Where did we leave off? A couple of text messages. It says, come buy a car from the hot and cold hack. Now, is that nice? And I admit, here's the deal. When it comes to cars, I have multiple mechanics. I don't hack the cars. I have people who do the cars for me. I vet them. I do the triage to see what's going on first, to see if there's anything that needs attention that I can direct my mechanics towards. But they're the ones who go over them. I'm just there to, I don't know what I'm there for anymore. Pete doesn't want me to talk to customer. I understand that. Why not? Oh, boy. So they want to hide me out back. That's maybe where I should be. I do want to mention that our friends at General Appliance are open on Center Street in Brewer from Monday through Friday from 9 to 4. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, you want to give them a call at 989-4341. They are worth the trip. They're worth the phone call if you're having appliance problems. That is for sure. 989-4341. Let's see. We had another question here. Would you go over how to replace two rotten floor beams on an 8x12 tool shed sagging on one end? Do I need to take off the siding and the floorboard? It's hard to say without seeing it. Generally, on a shed, especially if you can jack it up, you could possibly work from underneath and not have to take off a whole bunch of stuff. But it's hard to say. Little hydraulic jacks, bottle jacks can do a pretty capable job. If you look at the average small bottle jack or even sometimes a car, the kind of car jacks that roll in underneath the vehicle. They're kind of low profile. They're usually rated for a ton, 2 tons, something like that. A 10x12 shed, depending on what's in it, hopefully if you don't have a lot of stuff in there, it's going to be well under a ton. Well under a ton. You can do a lot with a little hydraulic jack, believe it or not. So it and even to the degree of just giving it a try, see if you lift up one end. Ideally, if you jack it up, you want to have cribbing underneath it to be secure. You never rely on a hydraulic jack to if you're going to crawl underneath the building. But I would be inclined to think that you could do it without taking everything apart. But I'm not looking at it. You are. That's a call you'll have to make. I mean, you can, it might be simpler to take the floorboards up and take the siding off it from replacement point of view for the parts that you have to replace, but it's a little more involved. But, give it a go. And have a good new recip saw blades when it comes time to cut out the old stuff. I can't emphasize that enough. You don't want to be just burning wood. You should be cutting wood. That could be a quote of the day. Something like that, huh? Let's see. I have a car we've been working on for a while. It's a newer Prius. Actually, it's a Prius Prime, which is a plug-in Prius, and it's needed a reasonable bit of attention. It had been misdiagnosed, and we wound up getting it running. It's like how many monkeys are in the zoo. I don't know who worked on this before, but they just didn't know what they were doing. At any rate, with assistance from my mechanic, We were able to, we got the thing running. It's back in my hands now, and it's just ready to be detailed, except it has a forward, let me get this right, forward, it's got a, I forget the exact term, but it's forward collision camera. Tells you if you're going to hit somebody, you know. And it's in the windshield or behind the windshield, and it's not working. So it says on the little screen in the car, forward collision, whatever, is not working. And so I got into it with my diagnostic tools, and it apparently the camera's part of it is okay. The heater circuit is not. Now, the $64 question for me, what's the heater circuit? Well, I think the heater circuit, it was related to me by one of my other mechanics, is for condensation. You know, front windshields fog up. If this is a safety system, we want to have it so it actually functions. So the heater comes on as soon as the car starts. Make sure that little dot that the camera goes through the windshield is clear. And that wasn't working. And it was a lot of fun. I've had to take a good part of the headliner out and get to the wiring and diagnose what's going on. And apparently it needs a camera. The heater circuit has blown out. It took a while to get to that point. There was a wiring issue, which I fixed. Anyway, it's close. It looks like a mess, right? Everything's hanging. I had to order a camera, so everything's hanging down, but it's in the shop where it's out of the way. So I got a text message here last week. You suggested I put 1-inch foam and R40 total under my tiny house. Should there be a vapor barrier, excuse me, under the subfloor? Not really, because the foam, if the foam is tight, so if, say for the sake of discussion, you use spray foam. Spray foam would be inherently be the vapor barrier. And the if you are now using fluffy insulation, rock wool or fiberglass, whatever, that's not a vapor barrier, and hence, I'm sure, the root of your question. But the layer of foam that would be underneath all of that, you treat it as though it were a vapor barrier, because technically it should be and it would be. If you seal the joints where the sheets butt together, and at the perimeter you seal those joints, that becomes a vapor barrier. So the whole bottom is sealed in such a way that moisture cannot get into that cavity where you might have rock wool. If you're doing spray foam, you're done. It's fine. If you cut and fit foam into the cavity, you need to seal all the cracks. And if you put it underneath, that becomes the ad hoc vapor barrier, because that's the a solid layer that stops moist air, humidity, from getting into that cavity. So that will work well for you. If you go that approach. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. This was last Sunday. I had been delinquent in many ways working on banjos. I'd just been so busy with car stuff and just really hadn't gotten into anything. And I said to myself, self, Sunday morning, you're going to do some wood working. So I went down to my shop and I looked at the wood I have, and I had a reasonable bit of walnut. So I prepped the walnut for making a rim, the round part of the instrument. And I hadn't made one with the kind of concave convex design that I had come up with, put it together, glued it. It took about an hour and a half, because I have I got a couple since the last time I did it. I got a couple of router tables and routers set up. One has a concave router head. The other has a quarter round, so two swipes with that, and I've got a convex one. Did I get that right? At any rate, they mate together, whatever. And so I routed it all out. Then I cut all the pieces, and then I go and glue. And I've got a process that seems to be pretty okay. It, you know, it took an hour or hour and a half, but I was messing around with safety things on the router tables to keep my little or my long, skinny, crooked fingers out of the way of the router and not have to use things to hold it in place, manual thing. You've got those little brackets that help keep the piece that's being cut in place without having any hands nearby. And got it all done. And, you know, as I get older, I think more about, okay, you've made it through 70-some years with all 10 digits intact, including working in a sawmill. I kind of like to maintain that, you know, I don't want people calling me Stumpy. So spend more time thinking about safety than I used to when I was a youth, when I was invincible. And at any rate, it came out well, glued it up. Clamped it, and this was the hard part. You know, I used Tight Bond 2 glue, and 4 hours or so, I could probably take it out of the clamps and everything. And I said, no, Tom, going to go 24 hours before you touch it. And I actually lived up to that. I didn't go back for 24 hours to even look at it. I looked at it when I did it. I took pictures so I could remember always. In the big mess of glue and wood that it was, and went Monday morning, took it apart, and machined it enough to make it presentable, and it really came out nice. So I had it at home. I was doing just looking at it, thinking about what I wanted to do with the rest of the instrument, and said, well, let me put a little oil finish on it just to see how it looks, and oh my goodness, it literally looks like a chocolate cake. That's the beauty of walnut. I love working with walnut because it's my chocolate cake wood, and I'm not a huge fan of chocolate cake, but I love the way it looks. So it came out nice, and I actually went down last night and in anticipation of having the weekend, went and did the next step that I have to do so I can actually start assembling the thing over the weekend. I some woodworking to do on it. I got that done, and then gluing was involved. A lot of gluing involved, and that's done. So tomorrow, whole thing will get put together. It'll be probably, I don't know if I get the whole instrument done this weekend, but I have a pretty good jump on it now. Let's see, 2008 Prius aftermarket key fob. YouTube says I can program it. Do you agree? Yes. It's an experience. I know not all Priuses you can program the fob. If you have the original fob, though, you can program an additional fob. And if you have ever heard the Hokey Pokey song, it's kind of like doing the Hokey Pokey. And I, being dyslexic and having some attention deficit, what a perfect individual, huh? Have never screwed it up. And I have made mistakes in the process, but I have never messed up a fob. And what you do, you put the key in, you take the key out, then you put your replacement key in, and you open and close the door a couple times, and you do stuff like that. It's hilarious. To me, it's hilarious. And I think some Japanese engineer with a sense of humor came up with this scheme, but it's pretty cool. So It can be done as long as you have the original fob. If you don't have the original fob, if you have no key for the car, obviously at that point you're calling a locksmith who, you know, what is it, 08? 08 is old enough that, you know, locksmiths are set up to deal with most of these anyway. There's a whole aftermarket industry for fob keys for any car. So it's, and it's kind of fun. I usually shop mine on eBay. And just make, you know, take a little time. Make sure you read the description. Make sure you're getting the right thing. Sometimes they'll sell a fob case with no innards. That doesn't work. You have to have the innards. But it can be done, and you'll enjoy it. Let us know how you make out, because I'd be curious. I did not mess it up, and honestly, I know the first or second time I did it. I was afraid that I was going to screw something up because of the steps you have to do, and you have to do them within a certain time span, like within three seconds, open and close the door twice. Okay. And I was able to do it. And, I know at one point I messed up towards the end of the process and was able to go back and redo it again, and it worked fine. So it's really kind of fun. So that's something you can look forward to. Other thing, you know, I made this walnut banjo thing last weekend. I've been kind of mulling over what I make next, and every time I do an instrument, I seem to go off on what can we do that's different, that makes it sound better. I'm not so much concerned about affordability at this point, and I don't mean that from the point of view of I'm just going to charge a lot of money. But I think we can make these reasonably affordable instruments. But what can we do to enhance it? And I had a couple things pop into my head. That's always a scary thing to say. I've got some new instruments we're going to be working on at some point. So that's happening. And, you know, winter's coming. I got to have something to do. Oh, speaking of winter, I got the oil tank filled last Monday. No leaks. And I've got the oil lines all run, short of being connected, because I'm still working off the old tank. There's about a quarter tank left. But when that's gone, man, swapping her right over, and it came out good. I probably should do a video on it. Maybe not. I don't know. We got to take a break. It's 8:55. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. Pete will be with us next hour. What? We'll be back in a bit.
Who? What?
Boogie, boogie, with a sturdy roll. They mess around.
They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around. Now, when I say stop, don't you move a peg. When I say go, just shake your leg and do the mess around. I declare, do the mess around. Yeah, do the mess around. Everybody's doing the mess around. Now let me have it, that boy.
Okay, we're back. 9:06, hot and cold. Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. This could be our theme song, couldn't it? Yeah, a lot of stuff could be our theme song, huh? Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. I got a question for you. It's time for me to ask the questions. You know, one thing, and I wouldn't have wanted to do it when I was young, which would have been the time to do it. Let me move the microphone. There we go. But now I have no shame. Obviously, you listen to the radio every Saturday. You know what's going on. Is it too late for me to take up tap dancing? I mean, you know, I watch guys like Gregory Hines or Sammy Davis Jr. or Bill Bojangles Robinson. I want to tap dance, man. several things here. I'm not sure I can get shoes big enough. I probably could, but they'd have to be comfortable. They got to be comfortable shoes. Although I'm sure to tap dance is more, there's some pain involved. There certainly would be. But it just was like, you know, and then I have to have a floor that I could ruin tap dancing. But I could probably set one up in the basement. I'm getting serious about this. Why not? I've got the whole banjo thing covered. Oh, my goodness. What's wrong with me? I'm losing it. text message. Hey, Tom, my wife is pregnant. She wants giraffe wallpaper on our baby's room. I really don't like giraffes. Any ideas for me? You know the saying. Do I have to tell you this? Happy wife, happy life. If she wants, here's the thing. You put up giraffe wallpaper. And when the kid is old enough to say, I don't want to see giraffes anymore, you take it off or you paint over it. Maybe get some, maybe the solution is to get a whimsical one of zoo animals or, you know, animals in general. A couple giraffes in there, not a lot. Maybe that works. I don't have an easy one for you on that, except, you know, generally speaking, I learned this over the years, and not just to be carte blanche that anything my wife says goes, but generally when it comes to colors, now that's not giraffes, it's colors. She says, I want to paint this room, you fill in the blank. Or I want to paint the house. I will have a comment to make, and then if I use the color that she likes, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, you know what? She was right. So, Godspeed, my friend. Another one, Tom, my wife and I are considering adding to our house. Do you think we should add a zone onto the oil boiler or depend on the heat pump? I would do a heat pump for a couple reasons. One, you've got air conditioning, which may spill over into some other areas of the house. But also, if you're going to do an addition, you're going to insulate it really well, right? Right? You listen to Hot and Cold all these years. Make sure you invest in insulation. This is the time to do it. It's cheap date right now. Makes the heat pump insulation less expensive, and it'll save you energy in the long term. So, yeah, but I would go with the heat pump. Again, from a comfort point of view, ideal. We've been doing, I've been remiss. I have not gotten into it yet. I turned the heat on because just to take the chill off in the morning. And I was doing it manually. I was turning the thing on and off manually. But I've got an outdoor reset control on my heating system. And I have all the convectors shut off. So primarily the heat that comes into the house, which is not much, is coming through the radiant panels. Because the convectors are off. So the radiant panels are running off the outdoor reset control. The outdoor reset control is running the heating system at a temperature that's related to the outside temperature. And it's not that cold out right now. So the temperature of the heating system is pretty low. I mean, if you put your hand on a radiant panel, it basically feels tepid. It does not feel very, does not feel warm at all. But it's just enough energy coming into the space to maintain it to keep my wife from being uncomfortable during the day. If it's, you know, if it's a day, a couple of days ago, it was kind of cooler temperature. And then as it gets colder, there's a certain cutoff temperature. The outside temperature goes above, I don't know, 63 or whatever, 58, something like that. It's not going to let the boiler come on. And it's only coming on for maybe, boy, it injects heat into the system about, if it doesn't even run a minute, about every 4 hours. Because if I'm home, I'm monitoring when it comes on. And usually in the evening when I get home at 4 or 5 o'clock, I hear it will run one time in the course of the evening. So let's see. Comment here, Tom, they have some really nice peel and stick wallpapers these days. Okay. I'll be questioning how that would work out. The question is put to me, clogging. No, not clogging. Tap dancing. Obviously, there's a difference. Tap dancing seems a little bit, I don't know. I just like it better. Let's see. The vision of me clogging is almost as funny as me tap dancing. Thanks for answering my question. In the event of power events, how do heat pumps on a rollaway generator run? That's a good question. Apparently the electronics in heat pumps may not all be compatible with conventional older generators. The newer generators, which are called inverter generators, are more cleaner, better energy for running the electronics involved. I have no direct experience on this, so I just know what I've heard. And that relates to other things too. Everything has got some kind of electronic googa on it. At a time when I'm not really excited about electronic googas, that's for sure. But here we are. My mechanic was telling me the other day, we were talking about the forward camera thing on cars. 2029, all cars will have forward collision control, which as a guy who is aging rapidly, I like the idea of having those little extra things to keep you clued in. As you get older, you lose. I already know, and it's been a few years now, that my response time isn't what it was 20 years ago. It's still pretty good if I concentrate, but it ain't going to get better as I get older, or it's not going to get better as you get older either. So these things are of value. The catch is, apparently, the alignment of the camera is hypercritical in relation to the alignment of the car. So that could be a big issue in terms of cost. So if you have a wheel alignment done, you might have to have a camera alignment done. And there's an UGG factor to that. We'll see what happens. We got a couple of years. What we got, 4 years? Okay, there's plenty of time, right? I think so. Hey, we got to take a break. It's 9:16. Hot and cold. We'll be right back.
The city streets are empty now.
The lights don't shine no more.
Boys, thank you. That was, you know, if you have the opportunity and if you have the internet, you have the opportunity. Take a look up Keith Richards playing acoustic guitar. Man, he started out on the acoustic guitar, as most kids possibly did. You know, he wasn't this heavy duty electric rock and roll pedal sound thing. We're blessed to have these people making music and have for many years. Our phone number, though, is 1-800, speaking of blessings, 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. We should hear from Pete shortly. Message, Tom, woodpeckers are all for tap dancing unless they are in Dutch, in which case they prefer clog. Should have something to do with plumbing. Good show as always. Thank you. The woodpeckers, the woodpeckers at my house have been replaced with the blue jays. The blue jays now are driving me crazy with the noise at the bird feeders. But, I was this close a couple of years ago to buying tap shoes. I mean, I was just, I thought, what if they don't fit right? I got to send them back. They weren't cheap. Give me something to do. If I want to just sit around and not do something, I'll look up tap shoes. I mean, we could, tap shoes could translate to, if I brought a piece of wood in here for the floor, wouldn't that work? That'd be good talk radio right there, tap dancing. excuse me. One of the breaks, we were playing Pokey Lafarge, a Maine, I wouldn't say native, but lives in the state of Maine. And I won't say the town, I would do a pilgrimage. But I won't. I don't want to pester people. But this guy, you know, they're good. Anyway, Pokey is playing in Portland on the 24th in a small venue club. That's pretty cool. Great band, a great band, underrated in my book, but maybe not. Maybe everybody knows and loves Pokey Lafarge. If they don't, they should. That's not his real name, by the way. But I'm not, I don't remember his real name, so that's good. Speaking of music, again, I want to mention the Big Sardine Fest thing is in Searsport, Maine today. Searsport just last week had Fling in the Fall, where they flung around and had a great time and a lot of stuff going on. The weather has just been delightful. Obviously, we need a lot of rain, and we're not going to get it probably anytime soon. We're going to get – God, I don't want it in January, the precip. We don't need to catch up in January. But anyway, great weekend for the Searsport sardine thing going on. And my buddy Steve Tangway has sea shanty songs going on at 12 o'clock at the Mermaid Plaza, which is the old Jordan's restaurant right in downtown Searsport, right by the stream there. You know where that bridge is by the stream? You know where it is. Anyway, they'll be there. I've got a list of songs I've been invited to come and play, and I know better. So I will not be there. If I was to go, it would be to be in the audience and just watch. Somebody said, I got a message here. I will buy, I might take you up on this. I will buy the shoes if you post a video dancing. Don't tempt me. I have videos online and I have no shame anymore. So, after 30 some years of doing this, glad to hear Pokey lives in Maine. I believe he originally comes from Western Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. If you really want to do nothing, practice tap dancing while watching Curse of Oak Island. Oh, yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I got a cut here I want to play. Let me find it. Where the heck is it? Is this it? No. Okay, here we go. Let me get it up. Get it straightened out here. Okay, you ready? This is classic TV stuff, but and tell me if you're a child of the '60s, this does not go through your head.
I say this calls for action, and now nip it in the bud. First sign a youngster's going wrong, you got to nip it in the bud. Nip it. You go read any book you want on the subject of child discipline, and you'll find that every one of them is in favor of bud nipping.
Only one way to take care of it.
Nip it
in the bud.
All right. I found that this morning, and I love it. Tell me that's not true. You do have to nip it in the bud. Our phone number again, 1-800, quiet today, 1-800-966-1039, text line 601-207-4478. By the way, I've been looking for when the startup of Curse of Oak Island is, and I think it's going to be around, is it Halloween or Thanksgiving? It's somewhere mid to late autumn that they're going to kick it off. And for some reason, and I don't go searching for this on Facebook, but for some reason I get notices. There's somebody who lives across from Oak Island on the mainland, and they take pictures of every vehicle that goes across the causeway to Oak Island and post them. And there's a lot of stuff going on right now. That's because they got the this is the year. Treasure's going to be there. And hopefully they'll continue. Now, the Skinwalker Ranch thing, that the only way you can watch any videos of that is if you subscribe to something, and I'm not going to do it. Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, but Curse of Oak Island, the day after it airs, it has been free streaming online, which means you can, if there were commercials in the stream, you could cut them out, you can nip them right out of there, you can nip them in the butt. So I hope they do that this year. If not, you know, with the temptation of the fact that they may have the treasure, I may have to subscribe and probably buy the tap shoes too. So the tap shoes ain't cheap. Matter of fact, I got a break coming up here. I haven't heard from Pete yet, so I'm going to look up tap shoes during the break. We'll do a GoFundMe for tap shoes and tap lessons for Tom. There you go. This is a money well spent right there, huh? What do we got for music here? Oh, we got, no, we did that one. Can't play that again. Can't play that one. That's too, we're not ready for that. Pete's not here. We can't play that one. All right. So I guess we're going to have to, we'll have to endure some bluegrass music. Is that okay? And it starts off with banjo. Is that going to be acceptable? I hope so. Because it's time.
You come from?
The pantry.
Hi.
Mine.
Just got home from Illinois. Locked the front door, oh boy. Got to sit down, take a rest on the porch. Imagination sets in. Pretty soon I'm singing.
You know, I have technology here at the radio station where I can get on a camera. And I can see what's going on in my place of business. And I don't even want to tell you the time. We open at 9 o'clock. I don't want to tell you the time I looked over there. And I thought, gee, there's one car missing from the parking lot. I wonder whose car that is. Do you have any idea, Pete?
I put a sign up. I went to the post office.
Yeah, you were gone for like a half hour.
I was not.
It looked like you were.
I literally drove to the post office, dropped the box off, and drove back. It was like 6 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You're going to be hearing from human resources on Monday.
Hey, of the two of us, who forgot their watch yesterday?
Yeah, but
I said, "Where's your watch?" You're like, "I don't know, I forgot it."
Yeah, but I didn't need it.
You're shuffling around like Uncle Junior from Sopranos.
Anthony.
So look. You know what's funny is, actually, I was watching Sopranos the other day, and they were watching a football game or something, and they had, like, way too many bags of chips open. There's like, six different bags of chips open. Bothered me, because there's no way those are all going to get eaten before, they get stale. But anyway, I'm looking at the chips, and it occurred to me, I don't think I've eaten Doritos in 25 years.
It's been a long time for me, too. I look at them in the store, And I think,
I don't even look at them. I just glaze over them. It's like they're not even there. I don't think I've had them since high school. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that to like be like, oh, Doritos are for kids. I like, you know, regular chips like a grown up. I just mean I just haven't had them.
Yeah, yeah, like, I haven't.
You know what it was when I went to Voke? I went to United Technology Center when I was in high school, and there was a little snack bar, you know, downstairs where you go buy sodas and candy and chips and stuff. Lickies and Chewies, as we used to call it in the military. Go get your Lickies and Chewies. And you'd get the Voke, you'd go grab some snacks and stuff, and then you'd go, you know, start your work day, as it was there.
Yeah.
And I would always get Doritos, Cool Ranch Doritos, and a Snickers, because that's practically a salad if you think about it.
It is. It covers all the bases.
That's at least three quarters of the food pyramid.
Yeah.
If you look at the food pyramid correctly, as it should be now.
Well, so, just for the colors.
Interesting, because I just haven't had Doritos in forever.
Yeah,
I don't. You know what it is? I don't like chips that are flavored with like that dust they put on them.
I can handle it. It depends, though. I don't eat a lot of that kind of stuff anymore.
I can only eat chips once in a while. Otherwise, I don't know what it is. If I eat chips, I just the next day I weigh 2 pounds more.
Yeah, I eat popcorn if I'm going to eat a snack usually.
I tried popcorn. It doesn't work for me. I don't know. It bothers me.
Oh, I love popcorn.
Popcorn makes me angry.
I have spent more money on popcorn because I've broken teeth on unpopped kernels.
And, yeah,
I can't
That's
tell you
a fun moment when
how
you
many
buy one of those.
How many crowns I've got, and I don't mean the regal kind of crowns, the expensive kind of crowns. But oh well. So it goes.
Speaking of crowns.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of crowns and the hierarchy of our society.
Yeah.
I've been watching, you know, if you're watching something on YouTube, those ads come up. We're getting all the political ads now.
Mm.
And the interesting thing I've noticed about all streaming services, anything that has ads, if you pause the show and then leave and come back and unpause it, inside of a minute, ads will come on because they know that you just did whatever it was you would do while the ads are running.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, interesting. But anyway, I'm watching it, and there's this ad about Susan Collins not wanting to sign the bill to prevent congressional members and their families from doing the insider trading and getting rich and stuff.
Mm.
And they got the pictures of her looking pissy all the time. And,
yeah.
You know, and like at first I was going to say that would be my first order of business would be to get that bill passed once, you know, I'm elected to governor or senator or congressman or dog catcher or something. But you know what I was thinking? I'm a man for the people of Maine, all right? The rest of the country can do whatever it wants. I'm for the people of Maine. I'm trying to make things better for them. So I would oppose the bill banning members of Congress and the Senate from insider trading. I would oppose that bill. Do you know why?
Why?
So I could get rich. But also, it's a two-prong approach. I will make all the insider tips public to Mainers so everybody can do the same investments.
Yeah.
Everybody gets rich.
Well,
the state of Maine will be the richest state in the country.
Somebody always
make sure everybody knows what stocks to buy.
Somebody's already doing that, though. They have a website that tells you when. I know when Senator Collins does an investment.
I'm sure there's a percentage. I'm sure there's a percentage to get. I'm just gonna say, hey, everybody, be sure to sell your stock of, you know, Wobistics today. You know,
I'm Pete Gozzi, and I approve this message
because it's gonna split. That's what I'm going to do. I'll just tell everybody. You know what really disappoints me about rich people, now that we're rolling on it,
okay,
is because, like,
I didn't know
everybody
we were rolling
worth
on
like
it.
100, everybody in the Senate's worth, like, $80 million at this point, right? What really bothers me is what rich people don't spend their money on, right? I don't get it. Like, if I was, like, if you have, let's say, and I'm not saying rich like the guy up the street that you know, and he's rich, you know, because he doesn't work. I mean rich. I mean, like, you know, multi-million dollars. Let's say you've got $10 million, right? That's enough money to last the rest of your life in absolute comfort. Now, let's say you had $3 million, but you also had a Soviet-era Alpha-class submarine, because you can buy those for $7 million.
Okay.
$3 million is enough money to live quite comfortably the rest of your life. So why don't the rich people buy things like that? Why don't they buy, you know, a Soviet-era Alpha-class submarine?
I don't know.
Why don't you buy that? You don't need all that money, so buy something that people don't usually. You can say, I have a submarine.
It's kind of like us with an airplane.
Well, look at it this way. Like, I mean, Elon Musk is rich. He doesn't have a submarine, as far as we know. So, like, you could literally, like, be eating dinner with Elon Musk, because that's rich people. They all eat dinner together. And you could be like, hey, Mr. 100 billionaire, Where's your submarine?
Yeah.
And it's not like the sub is going to lose. Well, it might lose value, but it's not going. You know, you can always sell the sub later if you change your mind.
Yeah.
But $3 million. If you've got $10 million, you owe it to yourself and those of us who don't have $10 million to buy an Alpha class Soviet era submarine surplus. Obviously, it's not going to have torpedoes or anything, but buy a submarine so we can live by. You know, make an Instagram about it and share pictures of your submarine.
Well, I would want to have more.
I shouldn't have to get angry about this stuff. I shouldn't have to explain this to these people.
Well, I think you need more than 10, but at some threshold, you certainly should have a submarine. I don't disagree. I think that's a good idea. So before I forget,
I saw one for sale for $7 million. That's what got me going on this.
I'm thinking tap shoes. I think tap shoes I can afford. I was looking
get
there.
Get tap
the
shoes and a submarine.
I could tap dance on the submarine. Hey,
you could surface and go stand out there and tap dance.
Have you opened the shop this morning? You've been
physically gone into the warehouse? No.
Okay.
Business is open.
I understand. I got a thing in there for the plane. And don't suggest what it is because it's a secret. But I got a thing for the plane. You'll see it when you look.
Okay.
Somebody, I commented on the fact we're going to paint the plane. I said we're going to get a paint roller and roll it out. And somebody posts the thing, don't roll it, spray it. You roll it, it's like you're a hack. I'm like, you obviously don't know who you're listening to.
We are hacks.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to pull all the lights off the wings and sell them on eBay. I mean, I just told rich people they should buy a plane. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
They should buy a submarine, excuse me.
So maybe what we should do now, because next, it'll be a week or so, we'll have the plane out, and we'll have to paint it. We have to pick a color.
Yeah.
And we maybe should poll the audience as to what color the plane should be.
Ideally, I would like it to be OD green, with the World War II white star on it and stuff. But the problem is, where it's sitting, it's not going to be that noticeable, that color. It's going to be kind of mixed in with the brush.
Well, I don't think so. When the snow comes, it's going to stick out like a thumb.
Like a steel gray, you know?
That would be
good. And then we could paint the nose. We could have the nose painted up with the shark teeth like they did on the P-51s.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
We'd have to have somebody come do it, but...
Oh, we could try. I mean, the beauty of paint is you screw it up, you just paint over it and start over. Obviously, we're not painting it with the kind of paint you need to use on an airplane, which would be very lightweight paint. I came across a thing, I think that maybe the 737 has, if it's painted, it's got 2,700 pounds of paint on it.
Really?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah. Somebody said painted sky camo.
You know what? That actually would work in the sense that it would be on the ground, so you'd be able to see it. But it would be an interesting look.
Now, when we talk sky camo, are we talking about like gray and white with some blue, or
sort of like that. You know, we're not going to be able to paint this till next year. It's going to be too cold.
It's not going to be too. We got another month. We still got a month.
All right. Okay. All
right. We got to get it painted before the snow flies.
Nah.
So if we each have a roller, it'd be faster to spray it. I do have a tank sprayer for house paint type stuff. It could probably be for other paint. And I could probably knock that sucker out in about 15 minutes if it was all one color. But I'd rather roll.
On the plane, we got all the anchor points put in. Mm. So we just got to put the wings on. And we just one day for the anchor points, and it got windy. So it'll be next week. But I was looking up videos online about how to take the wings off because it's hard to find videos about how to put the wings on. And it's pretty straightforward.
Just doing backwards.
If you're not hooking up the electronics and the fuel pump and the cables and all that, you just bolt them on. It's not, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But in doing so, I found a video. This plane's a Colt Piper, or Piper Colt. I found a video of one that was older than ours for sale. It was a functioning plane, though. It was a for sale video. Plane flew. It was, top notch, ready to go. That plane, now, I've got our plane listed right now for $6,000. So if you're thinking about it, last call. That's the plane, the motor, all the parts, the propeller, the exhaust. Everything is not in it, but everything seems to be there. And the interior bits, it's a project plane. I've got it listed for $6,000. What do you think? Let me ask you, make a guess. What do you think that fully complete functioning plane sold for?
I'm going to cheat here, $30,000.
It sold for $30,000.
Yeah,
okay,
you told me.
What's weird is, like, I'm getting, since I've had this plane, now admittedly a project plane is, you're, if you're talking to 1,000 people, there's maybe one person that's a serious, you know, contender for that. But, like, I've gotten people, like, will you take $1,500 for the whole thing? No. What? Like, I don't know a lot about planes, but I know a lot about buying and selling things, and I got a pretty good idea on value. So at any rate, so the plane's got a propeller, right? It goes in the front.
Yeah.
We have the propeller.
Yeah.
I don't want to bother. I'm sure the propeller has value. So, like, I'm, when we get it set up, I'm going to make a fake propeller, probably out of a piece of wood, paint it black, put it on a thing so it can spin freely in the breeze. It'll look neat. So, because there's no point in putting a proper propeller on it. So I'm like, well, what's the propeller worth? Now, this is used, but I looked up. I couldn't find a used one. I couldn't find a new one, but there's companies that make new propellers for similar style and vintage planes.
Mm.
A new propeller for a similar style and vintage plane is $8,000.
Yeah, I found used ones that are around $2,400.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go. You
I mean, honestly, I was surprised the plane guy didn't buy it just to part it out and sell it. Because I was getting messages from people from as far away as Missouri asking to buy parts off it.
Yeah. Well, we.
You know what's going to happen is the day we put the wings on and cable it to the ground.
Yep.
That day, that's going to be the one somebody's going to be like, I'm on my way.
Well, I guarantee you, once it's out there, people are going to come in. Because Steve came in.
How much for the plane?
Steve came in. Yeah. It wasn't even. We just had the fuselage out there.
Yeah, we're lining it up to figure out where the, you know, how to.
Yeah.
How we want it to be and all that good stuff. So.
It's going to be fun. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Anything remotely constructive today so far?
But once we get the wings on it, we're married to putting it outside.
Once the wings are on it, we've got to get it attached to the ground almost immediately.
Yep.
Because this plane, complete with everything in it and fuel and an engine, weighs 1,000 pounds.
Right.
So it's going to weigh significantly less than that. I don't think it'll be, honestly, I think we're over-engineering how hard we're going to tie it down, but it's one of those things where, you know, I don't want our plane to wind up in Frankfurt. We did briefly have the discussion of, we could tow it, because we were talking about, like, parades and stuff. And I was like, well, you know what, we could tow it behind a truck, and if the truck went fast enough, it would take off.
We could do that.
Because it would have lift.
By the way, Brian called, the truck's ready.
They're not open today.
Yeah, well, yeah. He called me about 10 minutes before they closed, and I was on the road, so it wasn't going to happen. But Monday morning, we get the truck. We'll line that sucker up, and we'll take off.
Yeah. Luke, if you're listening, that's a different truck, not the truck you were looking at.
There's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away.
There you go. We'll be playing that a lot in the next couple of weeks, so just so they know out there in Radio Land.
One of the largest private air forces in Stockton Springs.
If not the largest. There was a guy who had multiple planes who has since passed away.
He
passed away.
Yeah. Well, soon that'll be you.
Soon I'll pass away. what's the car situation? You got some as-is stuff? We were going to talk about?
You know what? Yes. Okay, so this is we had an FJ, we've had two FJ Cruisers in our history here. The first one I put out and it sold like literally within an hour. And that was high mileage. That was, I think it was almost 300K. This, we've got another FJ Cruiser, right? Okay, so it's a 2008 with 174,000 miles on it. It needs a bunch of stuff. We've got all the parts that it needs as far as we know. And the big thing is it needed a rear differential, so we got the rear differential. But the other big thing it needs is it needs some rust repair, inner and outer rockers, as far as I can tell. And it's getting to be one of those things where it's like I'm starting to try to line up where we're going to land on it, what it's going to cost, how long is it going to be here, you know, and how much other stuff that we have that we need to get done. You know, is this in the way? And this one is a little bit in the way. We got it a little while ago, and it's still not, you know, not ready yet. So it's a 2008 FJ Cruiser, 174K on it and change. We've got all the parts. We're going to include everything. The retail value on that, you're going to scoff, but the FJs hold their value like I don't know what, is $12,000, okay? That's market data. That's sold FJs of the same year with similar mileage, about 12K. So I would be aiming to have it out for about, I would hope, around 11. With all the, with what we've got in it, and all the parts included, but nothing done, it'd be sold as is. So it's your project car. Your guy puts the rear differential in. Your guy does the rust repair. Your guy puts all the other little bits and bobs in. There's nothing really big otherwise other than the rear differential.
The differential is not bad. It's just the mounts for the shocks were kind of tenuous, and it was crusty enough that I decided just to get a really nice differential from the Southwest, which we have. Looks really, like, new. And so that goes
okay,
with
Okay, so the differential that's on there isn't actually bad.
It's not bad.
It's
drivable. I drove it yesterday, and it drives fine.
Cool.
I love driving it. It's just, it's a little bit more than, I mean, it's challenging for us. And I'll be honest, I think we have some wiggle on the price. Not a lot, but we can talk. But here's the thing.
The retail is 12. That's not the number I was going to throw out.
Okay. You didn't throw a number out. The 11 is not the number.
I didn't throw a number out.
I'm
just painting
That's
the
what you would sell it for.
If it was done. And all set, I would have it out for 11.
Yeah. I got you. I want to make that clear.
What do you think?
Well, I know what we...
What do you think? As an as-is special, it does run and drive great.
About... it'd have to be towed off the lot, which we could help arrange. We're probably in this between, I hate to go between, but I'm going to say around 8.
I was a little bit higher than that, so I guess we'll go with your number.
Okay.
Can you tell who you want to negotiate with? It's definitely not me.
Don't talk to me.
So figure 8 as is. That's an as is sale. Off you go. I don't ever see the car again or hear about it. But
you can drive it.
An FJ Cruiser.
You can drive it around the yard.
It's going to be here for a minimum of the next week.
Yeah.
If you want to come take a look at it, you're welcome to. You can't drive it on the road because it's not inspected. That's not allowed. I'm sorry. But you're welcome to come take a peek. You can crawl around underneath it, see if it's something you want to tackle or not. But if we put it out, I'm going to be probably landing somewhere in the 11 range if we do everything and put it out. So it's a good way to save some money and get into an FJ pretty cheap. And if you're technically inclined, you could do everything yourself and save quite a bit. It's one of those things where it's like there's enough, it's going to tie up our guy for enough time that we're wondering if maybe we ought to just, shuffle it on down.
Yeah,
to somebody
I mean, we're going to take a hit on it when we sell it, but it's worth the timing involved, trying to get stuff ready for this, before winter. It's an option for us. It may be that we, as Pete said, we may just go ahead and get it done because it's not horrible.
Yep.
This
as-is price is not that price, and then we do the work, and then off you go. It's that price, off you go, and then you do the work.
I got about 30 seconds for you for the other one, the blue one.
I don't really know anything about that one. I'll let you do that one.
All right, we got a 2009 Prius with 255K on it. It's got a couple. It looks like it was dealer maintained, except it got really a lot of surface rust. A couple of small, not huge, inner rocker holes that have to be repaired. Other than that, I was using it myself as a daily driver while my car was in the shop, and I love the thing. It's got keyless entry. It runs good. Like I say, it was dealer maintained. I did some battery work on it. And got it running, and it just had some corrosion on a connector, so it was quite fixable. And cleaned it; it's civilized looking clean at this point. And we're just about out of time. And that is 1995. Pete,
sounds good to me. They're both here. You're welcome to come take a look at them, pick them over. Again, they can't go on the road, but as is specials.
Yeah, and we might have something else. You never know. Just ask.
No as-is submarines yet.
Come in. Yeah, no subs. Pete, thank you. We got to go. See you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
T-Rubbles more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there.